Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
It's a sad, sad day for us Eagles fans. I don't know if you're aware of the news, but
yes,
news dropped last night, yesterday, that longtime legendary Philadelphia Eagles assistant coach Jeff Stoutman,
offensive line,
he is stepping down. He is leaving the organization. Or as far as I know, all the reports that come out, they're saying he's not coaching, right? He's not coaching. I've seen some people say he's retiring. I'm disputing that because nowhere in any of his messages has he said he's retiring. He just said he was stepping away from coaching for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. That's what I was. I didn't say anything about him actually retiring.
Nope. His statement said nothing about retirement. It just said he was stepping away from the Eagles in a coaching capacity. That's exactly what he said. And yeah, man, I was honestly devastated when I saw the news yesterday. Immediately, I harbored up beef and angry feelings towards Nick Sirianni.
You think it's his fault?
I absolutely think it's his fault. If you haven't kept tabs on the Eagles offseason drama so far, word came out that Jeff Stoutland, you know, he was our offensive line coach, but he was also our run game coordinator for a very, very long time. And that title, whether he got demoted or they just shifted away from him doing that, somewhere in the middle of the season last year, they revoked that from him. Nick Sirianni and Kevin Mitula at some point in time decided they wanted the run game to go in a different direction. So they took it over and Jeff Stoutland took a step back. And from all the reports, Tim McManus, he kind of laid it all out. That was kind of the beginning of Jeff Stoutland not enjoying his time in Philadelphia. I'm just going to say this. Jeff Stoutland has outlasted Chip Kelly. He's outlasted Doug Peterson. He should have outlasted Nick Sirianni if that would have been the case. The one good thing Chip Kelly did was bring Jeff Stoutland to the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? And, I mean, this man, there's not a Hall of Fame for all assistant head coaches, right? If there was, Jeff Stoutland would be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay. Are there any assistant coaches in the Hall of Fame?
I don't.
They, like, never?
Assistant coaches? I don't believe so. You can fact check that real quick, but I don't believe so. But when you talk about Jeff Stoutland, man, this is a guy who has scouted very, very well. He has coached fifth and sixth rounders to all-pro caliber seasons to future Hall of Famers, right? Jason Kelce, definitely Hall of Famer. Lane Johnson, he's a first rounder, but Lane Johnson's a Hall of Famer. Jordan Mailata, I mean, he's on his way. And, I mean, that dude was a sixth-round rugby player. Right? And Jeff Stoutland has turned him into an all-pro left tackle.
So there's actually pretty much a Hall of Fame for assistant coaches.
Oh, is there? Really?
Yeah, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
It's like only, position coaches.
It's only dominated, like, they only have head coaches and players. They've recognized legendary assistants since 2022 through its awards of excellence. And so they do have their names displayed in Canton.
So whenever Jeff Stoutland retires, like when he officially retires, he's going to be a first ballot, I guess, inductee, honoree, however they...
The award, it's an award of excellence.
He is going to be a first ballot winner of the award of excellence for a tremendous coaching career in the NFL. Period, point blank, the end. But yeah, man, I wholeheartedly blame Nick Sirianni for this. Listen, like I said, Jeff Stoutland is the most experienced coach in that building. He might have some years on... Well, no, probably not, because Vic Fangio is 67. Jeff Stoutland is 63. But he coached in college for 30 years. Before getting to the Eagles in 2013, 30 years, okay? Time and time again, our run game has been a top five run game in the league. Why? Because Jeff Stoutland is not only coaching the Hogs up front, but he has been the run game coordinator, right? He is a critical piece as to why Saquon Barkley had the career year that he did last year. He's a critical piece as to why guys like DeAndre Swift had career years with Philly. Guys like Jay Ajayi, when he got traded midseason and you know, we ran off the Super Bowl win, he came in and he fit seamlessly, right? If you really think about it, no matter the running back we've had, aside from DeMarco Murray, no matter what running back we've had, they have come in and they've had almost career seasons.
Right?
Jeff Stoutland is the reason for that. It starts with him and it ends with him. Okay, and from my understanding, again, from reading Tim McManus's, you know, breakdown, you know, because obviously, I mean, we haven't even talked about it, but the Eagles hired Sean Mannion as offensive coordinator. I'm just going to say this. Sean Mannion, he's young. He's 33 years old. He's coached in the NFL for 2 seasons, and he's only been a quarterback's coach, right? He's young. He's unproven, okay? Has no history of touching the play calling duties, okay? So don't you think having a veteran presence like a Jeff Stoutland would have been invaluable to a Sean Mannion?
Definitely.
Right? My understanding is they wanted Jeff Stoutland back, but in a reduced role, and he just wasn't here for that. And I understand it completely, but I'm absolutely looking at Nick Sirianni like this. Dude, because, and you know, some people are bringing up Jason Kelce as the replacement or whatever. Anybody short of Jason Kelce, in my eyes, is going to be a disappointment.
Right.
This man has coached Hall of Famers.
Definitely. And coached players in 2 Hall of Famers.
He has turned 5th and 6th round draft picks into future Hall of Famers. Okay? If any coach deserved grace, really deserved the longest amount of leash in that building, it was Jeff Stoutland. Right, Vic Fangio too, but it was Jeff Stoutland, right? We know the reports are coming out that Vic Fangio was considering retirement. All talk is that he's going to run it back for 1 more season at least. But yeah, man, I have nowhere else to put this anger and displeasement other than Nick Sirianni. I have nowhere else to put it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And like I said, man, if we don't get Jason Kelce in there, anybody we bring in until proven otherwise, it's going to be a disappointment. And I am going to miss Jeff Stoutland sincerely. I'm going to, and honestly, for me, I'm also thinking too, listen, he's been there. He's been Lane's coach the whole time. Lane Johnson's been the lead. Lane's been, he battled injuries to finish off this season. Who is to say Lane Johnson doesn't call it a career now?
Right.
Right?
Coaches play a big part in seasons.
Absolutely. So, yeah, man, I'm sad. I'm hurt. I'm disappointed that the Eagles even left Jeff Stoutland leave the building, honestly. You know, like I said, we brought in Sean Mannion. I'm interested to see what he does, but he's, in my opinion, absolutely starting behind the 8 ball, losing a key veteran presence in Jeff Stoutland like that. It's going to be hard to make that up. You can't replace Jeff Stoutland and everything he means to the organization on and off the field. You can't replace that. So thank you, Coach Stoutland. You know, for these last 13 years, man, we don't win the Super Bowl twice without you. We don't make it 3 times without you. And yeah, man, you know, best of luck. I just hope, I hope he is retiring. I don't want to see, because I'm telling you, I will be livid if he is coaching for another team. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'll be sick in my stomach. So I do hope he does retire or go back to college. Okay.
Yeah. That's all I got on that.
Now let's switch gears, man. It is NBA trade deadline today. It came. It passed.
Yep.
A lot of moves were made, and we're gonna talk about the big ones.
Because it's always a movie. NBA trade
deadline. It's always a movie. We're gonna get into it. We got the popcorn ready. First and foremost, though,
I'm gonna look up y'all's record.
My Bulls, man, the Chicago Bulls. We traded away Vooch. We traded away Kobe White. We traded away Ayo. We traded away DeMar. We traded away Alex Caruso. We traded away Zach LaVine. And in all of those names, do you know how many first round draft picks we got back?
I feel like 1.
We got 1, but I don't even count that because it was originally. We got back from a trade.
Yeah, that's not.
Lando, I'm not even gonna get deep into the moves we made because the Bulls are just, they give me an aneurysm. Arturis needs to go. Billy Donovan, I like him as a head coach. He needs to go. The Reinsdorfs, they need to go. They need to sell the team. We need to start anew, start fresh. Chicago, I have no idea what we're doing. You're telling me. And now, granted, yeah, Anthony Simons, Colin Sexton, they're on expiring contracts. But, like, dude, what? So now we got a team with Josh Giddey, Trey Jones, Anthony Simons, Colin Sexton, Jaden Ivey, that's the one guy out of all of this that I'm like, oh, you know what? Okay.
Right.
I'm intrigued by Jaden Ivey. I know he hasn't really lived up to, you know, his draft status so far, but, you know, new city, new opportunity. Rob Dillingham. That's seven guards right there. Now, granted, two of them are on expiring deals, so hopefully I would have felt better about this had we flipped Anthony Simons, had we flipped Colin Sexton, because they really have no business on our team right now. We have no player over 6'11 on our team right now.
Yeah, that's great.
Which, right. So, yeah, the Chicago Bulls, they're a laughingstock. It's hard being a Bulls fan. And as soon as Ronnie 2K and those boys update the rosters, I will be going to work to fix the Chicago Bulls once again. Yeah, I will get off my soapbox now.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest, like, fire sales we've seen in recent history. I know what you named, how y'all traded away. How many players in total?
Just this season? Kobe, Nick, Nicola, Kevin Huter, Ayo. I mean, technically, Mike Conley, we flipped him because we got him in the trade. We flipped him. But, I mean, yeah, we moved five players in the past couple of days, man. Five.
Yeah.
Man, we got nothing back but guards and
high draft picks.
Like, well, late second draft round pick. Draft. We got a second round draft. Yeah, we got, I think, 8 second round draft picks.
Well, a few of those into some first.
I guess, but, like, it's the NBA, dude. Nobody cares about first round draft picks like that. Like, unless
it's a lottery.
Right. And unless, like, we're talking about Giannis's, if we're talking about, like, heavy hitters, first round draft picks don't mean nothing.
And even, like,
Jared Jackson Jr. just went for 3.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I mean, Rudy Gobert, you know, I'm still going to talk about it, but like, he went for 4.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, man, it's rough out here for a Bulls fan, man. It's rough. But the Lakers, they made some moves, yeah.
I meant to look it up, but I knew they
y'all signed, traded Gabe Vincent.
I know we traded Gabe Vincent away. I know we
y'all got Luke Kennard. Y'all
traded. And I'm trying to see who else we got or moved.
I don't know. I forgot who y'all traded for Luke Kennard.
I don't know. I don't think we were the. I think that might have been it.
Was it? It was. Was it Gabe for Luke?
Because I don't think it was.
I don't think it was Gabe for Luke.
Let me see. Yeah.
Was it Gabe for Luke?
So we. Yeah, they sent Luke Kennard. We got from the Hawks, and then sent Gabe Vincent in a 2032 second round pick. A 2032 pick, like, that kid's, bro, in middle school
right I'm now. Telling you, bro, like, nobody, they don't care about draft picks. But, yeah, okay, you got shooting in Luke Kennard.
Yeah, like, literally one of the best shooters in the NBA right now.
Right.
He's shooting almost 50% right now. He's literally shooting 49.7%.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been a sniper, you know?
Yeah, he leads the league right now, so.
That's all he can do, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a big need for the Lakers right now, so.
Yeah.
And Gabe, as good as he had been other places in his career, had just not really lived up to that
contract.
The contract or the standards that he had set for himself.
Right.
He had his moments. He had his games where he would catch fire, but he was very streaky, very inconsistent. So
right.
Obviously hoping Luke Kennard can continue what he's been doing throughout his entire career, and it should be, I mean, a move that makes the team better.
Right. Okay, now, this next move we're going to talk about, I'll just say it. When the news dropped immediately at work, I immediately thought to myself, the Dallas Mavericks are shooting themselves in the head every day for trading Luka Doncic, okay? Anthony Davis went from a Laker to a Washington Wizard in 29 games.
Yeah.
He played 29 games for the Dallas Mavericks.
Him and Kyrie played like 20-something minutes together. They didn't even give them a chance to be healthy at the same time.
Mavericks fans, I'm so sorry. I truly am so sorry. Anthony Davis is now a Washington Wizard. I don't even want to get into, like, because I know D'Angelo Russell got moved, Jaden Hardy got moved to somebody else, and, you know, they've got a couple first-round draft picks, whatever. A Trae Young and an Anthony Davis-led Washington team, I have no faith in whatsoever, okay? On paper, sure. If you're telling me you got a Trae Young, Trey Johnson, Bilal Kulabi, Anthony Davis, and Alexander Sarr starting 5, yeah, on paper, that sounds really good. On paper. Okay? Anthony Davis, I don't even know. Dude, he's at the stage of his career where it's like, he's good to play, what, 30 games a season?
No, it's bad. It's crazy.
Right? Like, 30, maybe 30. You're lucky if you get 30 out of him. Trae, we'll see. Again, he's still, his player option is still up. I don't know if he's even going to play a game for the Wizards.
Right.
Right?
I mean, and he's a good player, but it's never produced winning basketball. So
right.
It's like.
Right. Now, again, on paper, like, if that lineup, you got Trae Young surrounded by nothing but 3-and-D players and one elite big man when healthy, which is a rarity in AD,
right.
And a young and ascending two-way star in Alex Sarr, right? But there are so many other variables at play for the Washington Wizards. Like,
right, you got to make all that, like, actually connect and work.
Yes. And you have to bank on Anthony Davis staying healthy now?
Oh, yeah.
I have no faith in that whatsoever. So, yeah, I mean, Washington, I guess this is their version of win now, right? They're speeding up the rebuild. They're speeding up the timeline. And you know, we'll see. I asked a coworker of mine, I was like, do they make the playoffs next year? Not this season, but next season. And he couldn't even confidently say yes.
I mean, I can't confidently.
Right? I don't know.
I think they could. And I wouldn't be surprised. It's there at the point where, like, if everything went right and it worked, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But if everything went wrong and it would just
blow up in their faces.
Yeah, nothing came from it, I also wouldn't be surprised.
Blow up in their faces. And then, again, you know, the other side of this is the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, you're telling me you basically traded Luka Doncic for Chris Middleton.
Yeah. And actually, I would be surprised that everything worked out because that would mean Anthony Davis stayed healthy. So it's, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not happening.
Right.
It's just not happening. Yeah, dude, if you're the Mavericks, I mean, I know they fired Nico Harrison. I think the Dumonts, they should fire themselves. They should sell the team again. I mean, if this move wasn't proof that that trade was the worst in NBA history.
Right.
I don't know what does. Okay?
Because you traded him for aging, always injured, like, star leaving his prime.
Yes.
And then immediately traded that guy when he wasn't healthy.
29 games.
Wasn't performing like he was in his prime. You traded him for being exactly who he was, the guy you traded
you
for.
You basically traded Luka for nothing.
It's like, it's almost like you freaking go to the shelter and buy a rabid dog and then get then surprised when it bites you. Like, you literally traded it for Anthony Davis.
Yes.
A player who's always hurt and then had to trade him away because he never played for you because he's always hurt.
And that's exactly what y'all said y'all got off of Luka for, because they said they feel like long-term his health wasn't going to be good, right? I mean, as far as I know, he's only missed a handful of games from Lakers so far.
He missed
like a decent stretch, right? Yeah, but like...
But there's nowhere near.
No.
He's missed less games than AD has played.
Dude, he's 25. I think he might be 26 now, but he was 25 at the time. He was a 5-time first team All-NBA player.
Yeah.
You don't give up blue chip guys like that under no circumstances. Like, seriously, again, I said it when the trade happened. I'll say it now. If it was a question of, can Nico Harrison not figure this out? Or if Jason Kidd can't figure it out, y'all both can go.
Right.
Like, I'll find somebody that'll figure it out. I'm not getting rid of Luka.
Absolutely.
I'm not doing it. And for y'all to get rid of Luka Doncic for an Anthony Davis, that was already a horrendous move. What they got off of that trade, what, a one first rounder?
Yeah, Anthony in the first round.
Right. And Max Christie.
Yeah, Max Christie. No, definitely. Which is a solid piece, but...
Yeah, no, not... Bro, and then 29 games into the AD experiment, nah, we can't do it, man. And so now you're getting back Chris Middleton, who was broken down and way, way, way past his prime at this stage of his career.
Definitely.
I mean, if you're...
Cement up, too.
I mean, unfortunately, he fell off his last couple years in Milwaukee, really due to injury more than anything.
His last
who they game. Got back? Chris Middleton. Who else they get? I don't even know, dude.
Chris Middleton's last game, 22 minutes, 12 points, 18 minutes, 13 points, 26, 13. The last season, he's averaged 10 points his only two seasons in Washington.
Yeah.
He only played 14 games last season. He's played 34 this year so far. His last season in Milwaukee, he played 23. Averaged 12 points. Like, he averaged 20 points, like, 3 years in a row in 2019, 2020, and then 2021.
Yeah.
And then dropped down to 15 points 2 years in a row, dropped down to 12, and now it's been 10, back-to-back 10 averaging 10 points a game. So
you're just, I mean, if you're the Mavericks,
that's literally like a fraction of the production Luka gave in like just in every category.
Don't do that.
Even with his others, that it's like he averages 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists.
Luka does that in like a half of a quarter.
Triple that.
In literally a half of
triple
a quarter.
Triple the points, triple the assists, triple the rebounds. On a regular, just on a random Thursday.
You just don't trade Luka Doncic like that, man. You just don't do it. And if I had a GM coming to me and telling me he wants to do it,
you could have told me, I'll give you Anthony Davis, Chris Middleton, and a first-round pick, and I'm still going to say no.
You could have told me, I'll give you LeBron for Luka. I'm still telling you no.
At this age,
yeah. I'm still telling you no. That the Dumonts are never going to live this down. Never. Nico Harris, I don't even know where he's at now. And we already know his bet is made. The Dumonts are never going to live this down. Patrick Dumont will never live this down. Literally the worst trade in NBA history. Kind of just got, I don't even know what's the word, like cemented? Yeah. It got cemented because Anthony Davis is now a Washington Wizard. And the Mavericks whole thing of like, oh, no, we got Coop. And now we got Anthony Davis. Kyrie's coming back off the mend. And we're going to rattle off a chip. That is gone. That plan has exploded. Now you're talking about rebuilding around Cooper Flagg. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see, man. But the Mavericks are absolutely shooting themselves in the head every single day for trading Luka.
Definitely.
The biggest mistake possibly in sports. I mean, right now, I can't think of a bigger one. I can't think of a bigger one. Okay. So now, and in my opinion, this trade was the most impactful trade that happened before the deadline. James Harden is a Cleveland Cavalier, man. Now, I don't know how you felt when news first dropped that Harden requested a trade and the Clippers were in mutual agreement with him and they were exploring their options. Initially, I was like, number one, James Harden's been balling this season. The Clippers, I know they started off really bad, but they were on like a 17-4 stretch their last 21 games. I was playing really good. And James Harden said it like he was happy being home. Right, he's from Los Angeles. He was happy being home. He was happy playing for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And he seemed like he was content finishing his career there. So I'm curious as to what changed. I don't know what changed. I don't know. You know, maybe him and Ty didn't get along. I don't know. But, I mean, James Harden didn't come up with a statement. But, like, somebody talked to him. And, I mean, he basically said it's all love between Ty Lue and Steve Ballmer and the guys. I'm just wondering where the disconnect happened.
Right.
Right? Because I don't understand this. Now, when he got traded to Cleveland, I mean, honestly, even before that happened, you know, everybody's talking. I'm like, well, you're not, if I'm Cleveland, right, I'm not giving up Donovan Mitchell.
Definitely
not. I'm not giving you Evan Mobley. I'm not, like, Darius Garland was the only piece.
Right.
He was the only piece. And I'm like, man, am I going to give up a 26-year-old all-star for James Harden right now? And, you know, I'm friends with a Cavaliers fan, and, you know, he spoke about it, and he said Darius Garland, you know, last season he was battling that turf toe, man. And he said, really, he literally just has not been the same player since. You know, he looks like he is healthy, but it's almost like he's playing timid. He's playing scared because he doesn't want to hurt the foot again. And I see the vision for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I do, okay? Yeah. Not only do you have a James Harden now, you got a Dennis Schroeder. You got a Keon Ellis.
Man, they gave up Lonzo, though. I like him.
I think he kind of got out of favor with their rotation, though. Yeah, Lonzo's in Utah now. But I see the vision if you're Cleveland, right? Because here's the thing. James Harden, the regular season, on any team he's been on, he's fit seamlessly in the regular season, right? My thing is, if you're Cleveland, you are banking on James Harden figuring it out in the playoffs. In the last stage of his career, right? You are banking on him finally figuring it out after, I don't even know, I mean, how many years has James Harden been in the league? Is it 15? 16?
Since 2008.
14? 14 seasons?
No, almost 20. 18.
Am I?
Because it's 2026.
My brain is not mathing right now. But yeah, dude, you are banking on James Harden finally figuring it out. After almost two decades in the league, okay? That's a hard sell.
Yeah, especially when...
That's a hard sell, man.
He's not coming in to run the show. Like, it's obviously Donovan Mitchell's team, right, the leader, so it's...
But I think that's fine, though.
I know that in the sense, because he was in L.A. with Kawhi.
Yeah, he's the best, like... I think James Harden is probably one of the best combo guards in NBA history, just because, like, we've seen him do it from both sides, right? We've seen him... I mean, he was a two-guard in Houston, but he was the lead guard still, but he was putting up 35 and, like, 8,
right?
And he goes to Brooklyn and Philly and even Los Angeles, and he's kind of transitioned to that pass-first guard, but he's still putting up 22.
Yeah, I just think Donovan Mitchell's more of a kind of like a ball-dominant player.
Yeah, yeah.
And then especially, and then you also got Evan Mobley in there, who's obviously a big man, but, you know, he's a pillar in their team and how they run and how they, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just obviously, you know, when trades happen, it always comes down to chemistry and how things are going to fit in gel.
Right.
So
right.
If he can get in there and make it work, they can definitely be it, because they're already a contender.
I mean, the East is wide open right now. Right.
They're fourth in the East, but like 2-3 games out of first place second place. So, I mean, they can definitely put them on a
right.
Give them a little extra step.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, I see the vision.
Yeah.
They have a squad now. They had a squad before, but like, you got more depth. You got James Harden, who probably, I guess, fits whatever you're trying to do better than Darius Garland does at this point in his career. This is really going to come down to playoff time. Like, this trade is going to make or break come playoff time. And really, that's always been the case with James Harden, right?
Definitely.
Make or break in the playoff time, and it has always been break. It has always been break. Okay, I didn't think I was going to be sitting here talking about James Harden being a Cleveland Cavalier, but here we are now. I see the vision from Cleveland. I really hesitate because, again, that's a hard sell telling me James Harden is going to figure it out right now in this stage of his career. He's, what, 35, 36?
Yeah, but that's what I think at this point in his career, it's less about him figuring it out. More so, can he get with an organization that can put it all together to figure it out around him? He's not in Houston or
no. But what do you say about the Clippers and Philly and Brooklyn?
They were just didn't work. I don't think it didn't work solely because of him.
I don't think he did himself any favors, though.
No, definitely not.
But his last playoff game, for the Clippers, he had 9 points.
Yeah, but it's like his role right now is going to be like, if Donovan Mitchell can figure it out, I feel like it's not going to be on Harden to figure it out.
It's not going to be on him.
Because, like, for some reason, with him in L.A., him in Philly, I feel like it was still more of, like, a big three equal thing, like, to where... Because
they don't really have a big three now.
And even, like, where it was just him and Kawhi, like, it was more of, like, I feel like Donovan Mitchell is, like, a... Because maybe Kawhi, Paul George, those guys are all in the same like class of stars and like same era of basketball. To where Donovan Mitchell seems like that younger guy, to where it's all him. Like, it's almost never going to be on James Harden in Cleveland.
Do you think you can win a championship with Donovan Mitchell as your best player?
In today's NBA, yeah. Because I think when you look at it, obviously, I think guys like Giannis, LeBron, Kevin Durant, LeBron, they're on their way out. So when you look at guys, and even guys like Jokic, while I think he's in the next kind of tier, not in terms of like age of guys like LeBron, Steph, and all them, but I don't know, something about Jokic just doesn't seem to me that he's going to be doing this for a very, very long time.
Like, he's not going to be playing that much longer?
Right. So it's hard to even kind of group him in with guys who are, like, around his age, who are young.
I mean, he's talked about it, man. Basketball, it's just his job. So
when you look at guys in Donovan Mitchell's class, like, I think, like, if you look at the Tatums, the...
Jaylen Brown,
well, yeah, for sure, I guess. Who else is, like, a younger superstar? If you look at those guys, I think Donovan Mitchell is just as good as them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, he is still relatively young, but, like, I mean, he's been in the league a minute now, too, man. Like, I think people sometimes forget, like, he was in Utah, you know, taking them deep into the playoffs for a couple of years.
Definitely.
I definitely think Cleveland can absolutely become a Eastern Conference contender. I think they're more well-equipped to battle a Detroit now. I mean, the East is wide open.
Yeah.
Right? It's wide open. And yeah, like I said, I see the vision for Cleveland. I do. I see why you made the move. It's going to be a hard sell. Because even if James Harden doesn't have to be the guy come playoff time, he still has to show up and do his part. And that has been the one thing that has always eluded him come playoff time. And I guess we'll see if he can do it. Because I'm assuming James Harden is finishing his career as a Cleveland Cavalier. And I believe this will be his last chance to be immortalized and get a ring. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Obviously, if you look at it from the Clippers' perspective, they had no draft picks. They had no young players that they can look to build around. Now they do with a Darius Garland, right? Kawhi Leonard, I don't know how much longer he plans to be there or play. But now you have a young all-star point guard in Darius Garland. Hopefully he can get – I haven't watched him play that much this year, but hopefully, if he is, playing – if he still has a mental block, in his head of playing and not injuring himself and getting over that turf toe, hopefully he can get over that. I like the moves of the Clippers. It gives them more flexibility because they had no draft picks whatsoever. They had no draft picks. They had no young players to really look forward to watching develop and grow. And now you
trade
have
the motto, OKC.
You said what? Yeah, man. Fleece. But yeah, man, I do. I like this for the Clippers. I'm interested to see how Darius Garland and Kawhi Leonard pair. And I mean, hats off to the Clippers for just getting something back of value, right? In a Darius Garland, and I believe they got one pick.
Right.
So kudos to the Clippers for making that happen.
No, I agree. It could definitely bode well for the Clippers in the long run. Mm-hmm. Obviously, James Harden, like you said, hadn't figured it out, had been there for a while. So I think that going younger with a guy like Darius Garland, he's in that next class. I don't think he's on the level for obviously like Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum and them, but he's a younger guy who can obviously score, who's been a top priority on the team's offense. So That's definitely something the Clippers could use right now.
Absolutely. Before we get out of here, obviously it's the month of February. Mm-hmm. Shout out Black History Month. Shout out Muhammad Ali. Got him on my shirt. It is also the month of love, apparently. Valentine's Day is here. It's right around the corner. And, Landa, you want to talk about something with this?
So there's like a ongoing debate on social media on whether or not...
I'm not even seeing this. That's the funny part.
On whether or not people that are already in relationships...
Right.
...need to basically, ask their significant other whether or not they should be their Valentine, rather than it just be assumed, activities and whatever else like be planned. You will have to ask and plan it on. So I just want to know y'all's opinion on what you think about that. Me personally, I have no problem asking or whether if the person I'm with will be my Valentine. I think
if she's already your girlfriend, you have no problem asking.
If she's already my girlfriend, if I was married, I feel like I would never not ask. I feel like it's just a sweet gesture, especially if she's acknowledged that she'd like to be asked.
Yes.
Now, because my like thought process, like, the way like I guess I was kind of taught was just like things like that. Like, why not? Like, what are you really losing from asking?
Yeah.
And now I can see if the only reason she really wants to be asked is just so she could like post it or like show off. It's like, oh, you don't even really want you. It's like you just want to be seen. But
yeah.
Still, even then, I guess it's like still at the end of the day, like, what do you lose from asking? So, I mean, I feel like there's no real reason
not to do it.
Right. What do you think?
I think I tend to agree with you. I think, like you said, it's a sweet gesture. And I think it kind of keeps the spark alive, right? Like, it kind of just like, maybe it just hits that little reset of like, I'm still yearning for you, or I still like, like, I still want you in that way. Yeah, I wouldn't have any problem asking my girlfriend, if we're already very well established, like, hey, will you be my Valentine? And I'm the type of guy, I'm a big gesture guy, okay? So I would definitely make it a thing.
No, that's another thing. I like doing things like that.
Right.
But I will say, with it being someone you're in a relationship.
Yes.
As the years go by, if you're making it, year after year with somebody, I too would like to be asked.
Yeah,
and maybe even if we like switch every year, if we're gonna be doing like that's switch. A lot of things are kind of
put on the men.
not even just put on the men, but they're like the perspective of it, like the way they think that all men think is that they don't really care, or like they don't think, like, I like Valentine's Day. I like things
to feel one way or another inherently about Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I like romantic gestures.
I like romantic gestures, but like,
even things like, I've had this debate with my friends, like when I do eventually find someone and I get married, it's not the wedding is not just gonna be everything she wants and I'm just like, fine.
I have a list in my phone of like what I want.
I'm going to be heavily involved in the things that go into my wedding. And I feel like the public perception on how like
that men don't care.
Even if they do care, that she what she wants should come. No, it's like I want those things just as much. Like, right. So I feel like definitely agree that like it's no harm to ask, but as the years goes on, we can alternate some.
Well, good luck finding a girl that wants to alternate that.
Get some reciprocation there. That's my thing. It's always like, if you like me, you love me, it should be no problem.
I mean, like reciprocate the energy.
The exact same sentiment. Right. It would be sweet of you to ask me to be your Valentine.
But you know, as we all hope and wish and pray for a 50-50 relationship, I've been told many, many a times by a lot of folks who I love and respect that are in relationships, that are married even, it is never, ever actually 50-50.
I don't think it should be, but I think, because it's never going to always be 50-50. Right. Somebody's going to do this, that. Somebody's going to do more here.
Yeah.
But I think because, like, in the terms of beginning the relationship, like, asking, like, yeah, it should always, like, I feel like the guy is going to, like, the proposal. Like, a guy's always going to propose to the girl. Shouldn't be a thing. But that's only really because there's only one proposal.
Yeah.
If we're doing this year after year, it shouldn't just be me keeping that spark alive, showing you how much I like you.
Absolutely. I think your best shot is probably, you know, if y'all come to understand, like, listen, like, I'm going to do this for you. I hope you do it for me, right? But to alternate, I feel like, I don't know, like I said, maybe you'll find the one that she's absolutely game to alternate. I'd be interested to see if you find one that's down to do that.
Yeah, get a girl's opinion on that.
Yeah. Ladies, let us know. I mean, if y'all rock with sports, maybe you're on here, maybe you're not, who knows. But let us know. We'll definitely clip this and we'll send it out to y'all. Y'all let us know how you feel about it. But no, I'm with you with the wedding stuff and everything. Like, I'm 100% going to be heavily involved. I've already thought about, I want a fun activity at my wedding. Like, whether it's, like, roller skating or, like, I'm going to have a kids area. Because I'm going to have kids at my wedding. Like, my nephew's going to be there. I'm going to have kids at my wedding. So, there's going to be, like, a bouncy house area. You know, like I said, we can do roller skating. What did somebody else say? I would not do this. Somebody suggested, like, a water slide. I would not do that. Yeah. But, like, you know what I would do? I would definitely do silent disco. I would definitely do silent disco at my wedding. But no, I'm with you. I'm heavily involved in that. And yeah, man, I don't got an issue asking my girl to be my Valentine. Like I said, I'm a big gesture guy, so it'll definitely be something grand. And the right one will appreciate that, my friend. The right one will appreciate that. Hey, that's a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
Like, comment, subscribe, follow us on TikTok, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram.
Yep.
Like I said, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please leave a rating for us on the Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. Let us know how you're feeling, man. What say you, Philly fans? Are y'all also crying yourself to sleep now that Jeff Stoutland is gone? Bulls fans.
I was about to say, we didn't really get into it, but Cowboys fans, I know y'all have been watching the recent signings. We've signed a lot of, like, different, like, position coaches. Let us know how y'all feel about those.
Oh, yeah. I'll
ramble them all off, but, yeah, go. Bulls fans, how y'all feeling about it?
Bulls fans, are you ticked off as I am at the front office? Let us know. Wizards fans, are you happy that Anthony Davis is now in the building?
Do you see the vision with where y'all are going with the Anthony Davis, Trae Young led team?
Yep, because I surely don't. Cavalier fans, Harden is here. Do you think y'all can rattle off a chip? Do you have faith that James Harden will finally figure it out in the playoffs now that he is a Cleveland Cavalier? I don't know. Like I said, that's a hard sell, man. Ladies, fellas, let us know where you're at on this Valentine's Day thing. Fellas, are you still keeping the love alive? Are you asking your ladies, come Valentine's Day, will you be my Valentine?
Or do you think that's dumb? Y'all,
do you think that's cheesy? No, it's a waste of time. That. Ladies, do you require your men to ask you once again to be their Valentine every year? Maybe just once every blue moon. Let us know how y'all feel. And until next time, peace.
Later.